Hello, and welcome to your GCSE Religious Studies Revision Podcast. I'm so glad you're here because today we're diving into one of the most fascinating and genuinely important topics on the 8XL specification, crime and punishment. Now, I know what some of you might be thinking. It's just about whether Christians support the death penalty. But trust me, this topic goes so much deeper than that. We're talking about justice, forgiveness, the sanctity of human life, and the tension between what society demands and what faith teaches. These are questions that philosophers, theologians, and ordinary people have wrestled with for thousands of years, and at 8XL want you to wrestle with them too. In this episode, we're going to cover the core concepts you need to know, walk through the key sources of wisdom and authority, give you the exam tips that will push you from a level 2 to a level 4 answer, run a quick-fire recall quiz, and finish with a punchy summary you can take into the exam hall with you. So grab a pen, find a quiet spot, and let's get started. Let's start with the absolute basics, because getting these right is the foundation of everything else. First, the difference between crime and sin. A crime is a violation of state law, something that society, through its legal system, has decided is punishable. A sin, on the other hand, is a violation of God's law, a moral or spiritual wrong as defined by a religious tradition. Now here's the crucial point. These two categories overlap, but they are not the same thing. Murder is both a crime and a sin. Speeding might be a crime, but not a sin. And pride, one of the seven deadly sins, is not a crime at all. Examiners love it when candidates make this distinction clearly. If you write, "Christians think crime is wrong because it is a sin," you're conflating two different concepts and you'll lose marks. Be precise. Now let's talk about the four aims of punishment. You absolutely must know these, and you must be able to distinguish between them. I want you to think of the acronym RRDP. Retribution, reformation, deterrence, and protection. Retribution is the idea that a criminal deserves to suffer in proportion to the harm they caused. It's about justice, making the punishment fit the crime. Think of the phrase "an eye for an eye," which comes from Exodus chapter 21, verse 24. This is sometimes called the lex talionis, the law of retaliation. Now, a really important examiner's note here. Retribution is not the same as revenge. Revenge is a personal, emotional response. Retribution is a structured, proportionate, legal response. Candidates who confuse these two will lose marks. Retribution says the punishment should be proportionate. Revenge says, "I want to make you suffer because I am angry." Very different. Reformation is about changing the criminal's behavior so they do not reoffend. It's focused on rehabilitation, helping the offender become a better person and a productive member of society. Many Christians strongly support this aim because it reflects the belief that all humans are made in the image of God, the imago Dei, and therefore have the capacity for redemption and change. The parable of the prodigal son in Luke chapter 15 is a powerful source here. The father welcomes back his wayward son, celebrating his return rather than punishing him harshly. This suggests that reformation and reconciliation are central to Christian ethics. Deterrence is about discouraging people from committing crimes in the first place through fear of punishment. There are two types: specific deterrence, stopping this particular criminal from reoffending, and general deterrence, sending a message to society at large. Capital punishment is sometimes justified on deterrence grounds, though the evidence for its effectiveness is actually quite contested. Protection is about keeping society safe by removing dangerous criminals from the community, often through imprisonment. This is sometimes called incapacitation. The logic is simple. If someone is locked up, they cannot harm others. Now, let's move on to the big one, capital punishment. This is almost certainly going to appear in your exam, and you need to be able to argue both sides with specific theological references. Arguments in favor of capital punishment, and yes, some Christians do support it, often draw on the Old Testament. Genesis chapter 9, verse 6 states, "Whoever sheds human blood, by humans shall their blood be shed, for in the image of God has God made mankind." This suggests that taking a life is so serious that it warrants the ultimate punishment. Some Christians, particularly those with a more literalist approach to Scripture, argue that the death penalty upholds the sanctity of life by treating murder with the utmost seriousness. Arguments against capital punishment are arguably stronger within mainstream Christian thought. The most powerful is the sanctity of life. The belief that all human life is sacred because it is created by God. If God alone gives life, then only God has the right to take it away. This is reinforced by the New Testament emphasis on forgiveness and redemption. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 39, Jesus says, Do not resist an evil person. If anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to them the other cheek also. This teaching on non-retaliation directly challenges the logic of capital punishment. Furthermore, the Catholic Church officially opposes capital punishment. The Catechism of the Catholic Church states that it is an attack on the inviolability and dignity of the person. Pope Francis strengthened this position in 2018, declaring capital punishment inadmissible in all cases. But here's where it gets really interesting for your evaluation questions. You must not treat Christianity as a single unified voice. There is genuine divergence. Evangelical and fundamentalist Christians may support capital punishment based on Old Testament law. Liberal and Catholic Christians typically oppose it based on New Testament ethics and the sanctity of life. Examiners specifically reward candidates who recognize this internal diversity rather than saying Christians believe, as if they all agree. Let's also cover forgiveness, because this is a topic that trips up a lot of candidates. Forgiveness in Christianity is not unconditional in the sense that it requires nothing of the offender. Many theologians argue that genuine repentance, turning away from sin and seeking to make amends, is a necessary precondition for forgiveness. The parable of the lost son shows the father forgiving his son, but the son had already come to his senses and returned home. This suggests repentance precedes full reconciliation. So if you write, "Christians forgive everyone no matter what," you're oversimplifying and you'll lose marks. A nuanced answer acknowledges that forgiveness is a process that involves both the offender's repentance and the victim's willingness to let go of resentment. Right, let's talk exam strategy, because knowing the content is only half the battle. The EdExcel paper has four question types, A, B, C, and D. The D question is worth 12 marks and carries 50% of the section's total marks. You must spend at least 15 minutes on it. I cannot stress this enough. Students who rush the D question and spend too long on the easier questions are throwing away marks. For the C question, the explain with reference to a source of wisdom and authority question worth 5 marks. You must quote or paraphrase a specific text to access that 5th mark. The Bible says it is wrong will get you nowhere. You need. In Exodus 21 verse 24, the principle of lex talionis states an eye for an eye, which suggests that's the difference between 4 marks and 5 marks. For the D question, your conclusion must do more than summarize. It must weigh the arguments. Ask yourself, which argument is strongest and why? A conclusion that says both sides have good points is a level 2 conclusion. A conclusion that says, I find the argument from the sanctity of life most persuasive because it is grounded in a consistent theological principle that applies across both testaments, whereas the argument for capital punishment relies on selective use of Old Testament law that Jesus himself challenged in the Sermon on the Mount. That is a level 4 conclusion. Common mistakes to avoid. Number 1, confusing retribution with revenge. Number 2, saying Christians forgive everything without acknowledging repentance. Number 3, using generic phrases like the Bible says without citing specific verses. Number 4, failing to show divergent views within Christianity. Number 5, not reaching a justified conclusion in evaluation questions. Okay, let's test what you've just heard. I'll ask the question, pause, and then give the answer. Get ready. Question 1, what is the difference between crime and sin? Crime is a violation of state law. Sin is a violation of God's law. Question 2. What does the acronym RRDP stand for? Retribution, reformation, deterrence, protection. The 4 aims of punishment. Question 3. Which Bible verse is associated with the principle of lex talionis? Exodus 21 verse 24. An eye for an eye. Question 4. What does the Catholic Church's catechism say about capital punishment? It calls capital punishment an attack on the inviolability and dignity of the person. Question 5. In which gospel does Jesus say, turn the other cheek? Matthew chapter 5, verse 39. Let's wrap up with your 5 key takeaways for crime and punishment. 1. Always distinguish between crime, a state law violation, and sin, a religious law violation. 2. Know your 4 aims of punishment using RRDP, retribution, reformation, deterrence, protection, and never confuse retribution with revenge. 3. For capital punishment, use both Old Testament sources like Genesis 9 verse 6 and New Testament sources like Matthew 5 verse 39 and show that Christians are divided on this issue. 4. Forgiveness requires repentance. It is not unconditional. Use the parable of the prodigal son from Luke 15 to support this. 5. in your D question, spend 15 minutes, show both sides, and write a conclusion that genuinely weighs the arguments rather than just listing them. You've got this. Keep revising, keep practicing those exam answers, and remember, the examiner wants to give you marks. Your job is to make it easy for them. Good luck, and I'll see you in the next episode.